Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, March 22nd, 2022. Coming up this hour,
Ukraine offers peace talks to Moscow as it holds Russian troops at bay.
President Biden issues a warning on Vladimir Putin, saying the leader's becoming increasingly desperate.
And questions remain unanswered on that deadly plane crash in China.
New York's top health official says she doesn't expect to see a steep surge in COVID-19 cases. Plus, Supreme Court nominee Jackson faces senators questions today. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Kevin Durant and the Nets beat the Jazz in Brooklyn, and another big-name quarterback is on the move.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm John Tucker.
I'm Nathan Hager. Futures are moving higher on this Tuesday morning. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up by 17 points. Dow futures up 145. NASDAQ futures up 65 points. The DAX in Germany up 0.8%. The 10-year Treasury is down 14 30 seconds. The yield 2.34%. Yield on the 2-year 2.17. NYMEX crude is down 0.7% or 82 cents at $111.30 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.3%, down $6.30 at $19.28.50 an ounce. The euro is at 1.1005 against the dollar. The yen is at 120.48. John?
Nathan, we'll have more on the markets in a minute, but first, new developments involving the war. Ukraine's president says he's ready to discuss a deal with Russia in exchange for a ceasefire. Amy Morris has details from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said late last night he is prepared to discuss a commitment from Ukraine not to seek NATO membership in exchange for a ceasefire, the withdrawal of Russian troops, and a guarantee of Ukraine's security. He called it a compromise for everyone. He also repeated his call for direct talks with Russian President Vladimir Putin, saying that unless he meets with him personally, it's impossible to know if Russia even wants to stop the war. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. Now, President Zelensky says Ukrainian forces are still holding Russian troops at bay on several fronts. Retired U.S. Navy Commander Ward Carroll says Ukraine has remained resilient.
I can tell you from the legend of the Ghost of Kyiv to the other things that they've done against overwhelming odds, their Air Force has shown itself to be very capable.
Retired Navy Commander Ward Carroll spoke with our Washington correspondent Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio.
Meantime, the White House says Russian President Vladimir Putin's back is against the wall, and President Biden tells business leaders that makes him even more dangerous. He's suggesting Putin may soon use chemical weapons. More in this report from Bloomberg's Ed Baxter.
Biden, in front of the Business Roundtable CEO quarterly meeting, said Putin is already sending up false flags about chemical weapons, saying the U.S. has used them as well.
They're also suggesting that Ukraine has biological and chemical weapons in Ukraine. That's a clear sign he's considering using both of those. He's already used chemical weapons in the past, and we should be careful what's about to come.
Biden says the U.S. does not use chemical weapons, and the president also warned of a potential of increased cyber attacks. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. Another major story we're following brings us to yesterday's crash of a Boeing plane in China. All 132 people on board are believed dead. The cause of the crash is still unknown. Experts remain baffled by the plane's nosedive from 29,000 feet. Bloomberg's Stephen Engel has the latest from Hong Kong.
Xi Jinping, the president of China, said he's calling for an all-out investigation. They have found part of the wreckage. We just don't know how this accident happened on a flight from Kunming to Guangzhou that was already just about to descend to Guangzhou. It's very different from the MAX accidents in Indonesia and in Ethiopia.
Bloomberg's Stephen Engel says the China Eastern Airlines crash is China's worst commercial aviation accident in more than a decade.
Turning to the markets now, a sell-off in bonds is deepening. And to Fed Chair Jay Powell struck a more hawkish tone on his campaign against high inflation.
You know, the expectation going into this year was that we would see inflation peaking in the first quarter, then maybe leveling out and then see a lot of progress in the second half. That story has already fallen apart to the extent it continues to fall apart. My colleagues and I may well reach the conclusion that we'll need to move more quickly, and if so, we'll do so.
Chair Powell says the Fed is preparing to raise interest rates by half a point at the next policy meeting if needed. Tracy McMillan is head of global asset allocation strategy at Wells Fargo.
They're preparing the markets for a really tough inflation fight. And so that means we're going to see higher yields. And we are seeing those higher yields in the front end of the curve where the Fed really has more of an impact.
Wells Fargo's Tracy McMillan says she prefers equities over fixed income at the moment.
Well, we'll have much more on the future of interest rates and the fight against inflation later this morning, John, when we'll speak live with St. Louis Fed President Jim Bullard. Stay tuned for that conversation coming up at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and television.
And overnight, we saw the bond sell-off spread to Asia. Stocks in the region gained as the bonds fell. Let's get the recap from Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in Singapore. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, John and Nathan. Australian yields hit their highest since 2018 on the 10-year note, while the Kiwi equivalent was at a 5-year high. The yield differential between the US and Japan pushed the yen to a 6-year low, boosting Japanese equities, which returned from a long weekend. The Nikkei 225 rose 1.5% in Tokyo to post its sixth consecutive session of gains, the longest streak since September. And Alibaba shares gained nearly 10% in Hong Kong as the tech giant increased its share buyback program to $25 billion from $15 billion. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. And on the earnings front this morning, shares of Nike are up nearly 6% in early trading. The company's quarterly results topped estimates. Revenue outpaced expectations in all regions, including Greater China, where sales fell less than predicted. Right now, S&P futures are up 17 points. Dow futures up 151. NASDAQ futures are higher by 64 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 15 30 seconds. The yield 2.34%. NYMEX crude down 0.7% or 82 cents at $111.30 a barrel. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Nathan. 5:07 on Wall Street, and time to bring in Michael Barr with more on what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you very much. We have breaking news. Russian opposition leader and jailed Kremlin critic Alexei Navalny was found guilty of fraud today. A Moscow court convicted Navalny over allegations he stole from his anti-corruption foundation. Prosecutors want a 13-year prison sentence. New York's top health official is talking about the latest new Omicron subvariant. It is growing more prevalent in the state. State Health Commissioner Mary Bassett.
We don't expect to see a steep surge in cases in New York State. At the moment, BA2 comprises about 42% of all the cases here in the state.
Governor Kathy Hochul also spoke with Health Commissioner Bassett.
We have not focused as a nation as much on the treatment capabilities. You should, as first sign of symptoms, let your doctor know so you can start getting the treatments that can stop the circumstances from getting worse.
Governor Hochul says New York averaged around 2,100 new COVID-19 cases per day last week. That is up 32% from the previous week. Donald Trump's lawyers say a New York judge abused his discretion with a decision last month requiring the former president to answer questions under oath in a civil investigation into his business practices. In papers filed in a state appeals court, Trump's lawyers said the judge failed to properly weigh constitutional and ethical concerns that they'd raised about New York Attorney General Letitia James's investigation. Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson faces questioning in her second day of Supreme Court confirmation hearings today. Jackson gave her opening remarks yesterday before the Senate Judiciary Committee.
I have been a judge for nearly a decade now, and I take that responsibility and my duty to be independent very seriously.
Democrats likely have the votes needed to confirm Judge Jackson on their own. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, John.
All right, Michael, thank you very much. And it's coming up on 5:10 on Wall Street. Time down for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stanshower.
Good morning, John Tucker. Even with Tom Brady's unretirement, Aaron Rodgers remaining in Green Bay, it's been stunning how many big-name quarterbacks have been traded. Russell Wilson to Denver, Sean Watson to Cleveland, now Matt Ryan to Indianapolis. He was in Atlanta for 14 years, once the NFL's MVP with the Colts. He'll replace Carson Wentz, who was traded to Washington a year after Wentz was traded to Indy. The Falcons' new QB will apparently be Marcus Mariota, backup the last two seasons in Las Vegas. He signed as a free agent. In Brooklyn, Nets beat the Jazz 114-106. Kevin Durant again led the way, 37 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists. Home game meant no Kyrie Irving, and Ben Simmons still has not made his Nets debut, out with a herniated disc. His coach is Steve Nash.
You know, we still have high hopes that he can come back. He's had moments during his rehab where he's on the court doing some things, and it looks like he's about to turn a corner, and then there's a little setback, so I still feel optimistic that he can play for us.
Knicks tonight host Atlanta. Rangers visit the Devils. Kevin Willard, the coach at Seton Hall the last 12 years, leaving to take over at Maryland, leading to some rather obvious speculation that he'll be replaced by Shaheen Holloway, former Seton Hall player, who has coached St. Peter's to the NCAA Sweet 16. In Port St. Lucie, new Mets manager Buck Showalter watched new Met pitcher Max Scherzer, called it as advertised. 5 innings for Scherzer. He allowed just 1 run. Mets lost to the Marlins 3-0. Yankees in Tampa 5-2 over the Phillies. 3 pitchers who could be in the rotation: Jameson Taillon, Nestor Cortez, and Michael King, all with 2 scoreless innings. John Stash Hour, Bloomberg Sports. John?
All right, John, thanks very much. Ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, futures right now in the green, the Dow futures up 153 points. That's a rise of 0.4%. The S&P E-mini futures up 19 points. That's up 0.4%. And right now the NASDAQ futures up 71 points, up 0.5%. As far as treasuries, after the remarks by Fed Chair Jay Powell yesterday, the spread between the 2 and 10-year treasuries right now, just 15 basis points. The 10-year at 2.34%. That is up 5 basis points. The 2-year yield right now, 2.18%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. The situation on the ground in Ukraine appears to be growing more desperate. We'll get an update from Bloomberg Executive Editor for International Government, Rosalind Matheson. That is straight ahead. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. Stocks are climbing as a sell-off in bonds deepens after Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell signaled the central bank will take more aggressive measures to clamp down on inflation. We check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up 19 points. Dow futures up 162. NASDAQ futures on the rise by 70 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 17.30 seconds. The yield 2.35%. Yield on the 2-year 2.19%. NYMEX crude is down 2.2% or $2.42 now at $109.70 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.2% or $4.50 at $19.30 an ounce. The euro 1.1009 against the dollar. British pound 1.3190. The yen is at 120.47. At 10 a.m. Wall Street time, we get the Richmond Fed Manufacturing Index, and Carnival and Adobe are among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is set to virtually deliver his address to the Japanese parliament to rally international support for his country's fight against the Russian invasion. Zelensky has made virtual addresses to the U.S. Congress, as well as parliaments in Europe, Canada, and Israel. A Russian court has found jailed Kremlin critic Alexei Navalny guilty of large-scale fraud. Navalny is already serving a more than 2-year sentence in prison for parole violations he says were fabricated. In the NBA, the Nets and Celtics won. The Wizards lost. In the NHL, the Bruins beat the Canadiens in overtime 3-2. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 520 on Wall Street, and we are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. President Volodymyr Zelensky says Ukrainian forces still holding Russian troops at bay, as there may be signs that Russia is growing more desperate. We're joined now by Bloomberg Executive Editor for International Government, Rosalind Matheson, for an update on the war in Ukraine. Roz, let's start off with the situation on the ground. What is the update?
Well, we're seeing overnight shelling again, as always, by Russia in various parts of the country, a bit to the west in some places in the north. And again, the situation in the south of Ukraine increasingly desperate. Reports that those humanitarian corridors only held for a very short time. Yesterday, Ukraine accusing Russian troops of firing on convoys of people as they're trying to leave some of those cities, Mariupol and other cities in the area, and trying to block them from getting out. And saying that the situation inside those cities is increasingly desperate. Of course, Ukrainian troops are unable to cross the open land that would be required for them to get to Mariupol to try and break the siege directly. So they can't do that. At the moment, they're just trying to convince Russia to allow enough of a pause in the fighting for people to properly leave. There are still at least tens of thousands of people there. So the humanitarian situation certainly is deteriorating. In terms of the actual conflict, there are signs that Russian troops are simply largely staying put where they are. They're trying to reinforce their positions. They're using landmines around themselves and so on, and they're not attempting to push forward. And that's really leaving the conflict in the aerial phase still. Bombardment of cities again overnight, bombardment of sites in the northwest and in the southeast.
Are there signs that the Russian army is growing more desperate?
There are certainly reports, at least from the Ukraine side, that there are signs that Russian troops are losing their morale. They're certainly struggling in some areas, it seems, to access fuel, to access food. And of course, given that they have very close ties to Ukraine, many of them themselves, either through family, through culture and history, it doesn't go beyond belief to think that some Russian troops, at least, would be very reluctant to fight, particularly those who've been conscripted and sent in, for example. Do they really want to be there? And so Ukraine is saying that they're seeing evidence that some of those troops really are demoralized, not wanting to fight face to face. And again, that sort of suggests why Russia is instead trying to rely on things like missiles and rocket attacks.
What's the significance of the use of these hypersonic weapons?
Well, they are more targeted, at least. They tend to be better at hitting what they're aiming for, and they're being used so far, at least in terms of cruise missiles and longer range missiles, purely at military targets. So airports, things near airfields, weapons, caches, those sorts of things, training centers. So sort of targeting, trying to hit key parts of the Ukraine military infrastructure. And they're unable to be fired from Russia or Belarus, for example. They don't have to be fired from within Ukraine. They're also a lot harder for Ukraine to shoot down. They're very successful so far at shooting down aeroplanes and transport aircraft and at attacking tanks and so on. But missiles are another thing entirely. They fly at such high altitude that it's impossible for Ukraine to hit them. On the other hand, it also does show, again, the level of frustration that's probably creeping in to the Russian machinery here about their lack of progress on the ground, that they're having to resort to using those kinds of missiles.
And what is happening on the diplomatic front?
Well, we have the Ukrainian president addressing the Italian parliament today. We're expecting a similar plea for further military aid. Certainly, you can see that Ukraine needs at some point to get some extra aeroplanes, that they have been losing their own fighter jets in this conflict, and he may plead for that again. He may call for direct NATO intervention again. Of course, NATO says it cannot do that. And he may repeat his call for direct talks with the Russian president. He has said repeatedly that the only way that there can be any sort of agreement more broadly on this conflict is for the two leaders to speak one-on-one. So far, there's been no signs that the Russian president is willing to entertain that. But perhaps as we get more meat on the bones of a possible agreement at the lower level, that will shift up to have that conversation. But certainly you can expect him to call again on the Russian president to talk to him directly.
30 seconds left. What happens at the European Union summit this week?
Well, there'll be a lot of shows of unity and again, like that front against Russia across not just NATO, but the US, other countries and so on. There could be some discussion where the US is leaning on Europe to do more on the sanctions front, particularly when it comes to oil and gas, a potential oil embargo. We do not expect that to come on the table as a formal discussion, though at this point, Europe is highly reluctant to do so with oil. But you can expect a little bit of pressure perhaps from the U.S. coming through the president's visit to Brussels later this week.
Roz, thanks very much. Appreciate it. Bloomberg Executive Editor for International Government, Rosalind Matheson. Ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, futures in the green right now. S&P E-mini futures 15 points higher. The Dow E-mini futures up 127 points. NASDAQ futures right now up 54 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. The Bloomberg weather from Rob Carolyn. Clouds and some sun today, especially north of the city. High temperature about 60. Tomorrow, cloudy, cooler showers developing during the afternoon. The high temperature about 50 degrees.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Nathan Hager. We're about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Volodymyr Zelensky says Ukrainian forces are still holding Russian troops at bay. He is also indicating his nation would hold a referendum on the terms of any potential peace agreement. Zelensky addresses the Italian parliament this morning.
Meantime, President Biden says Russia's use of hypersonic missiles against Ukraine is a sign that President Vladimir Putin is growing desperate. Now the president's warning about possible cyber attacks.
They've just launched their hypersonic missile because it's the only thing that they can get through with that absolute certainty. He wasn't anticipating the extent or strength of our unity. And the more his back is against the wall, the greater the severity of the tactics he may employ.
President Biden is asking the U.S. private sector to, quote, harden your cyber defense immediately.
Well, meantime, John, in China, investigators are trying to figure out why a China Eastern Airlines Boeing jet suddenly fell from the sky. The crash is believed to have killed all 132 people on board. In response, China Eastern's grounded its fleet of Boeing 737-800s.
And turning to the markets, a sell-off in bonds is deepening after the Fed chair Jay Powell struck a more hawkish tone on the central bank's campaign against inflation. He's opening the door to a 50 basis point hike at the central bank's upcoming meetings.
We will take the necessary steps to ensure a return to price stability. In particular, if we conclude that it is appropriate to move more aggressively by raising the federal funds rate by more than 25 basis points at a meeting or meetings, we will do so. And if we determine that we need to tighten beyond common measures of neutral and into a more restrictive stance, we'll do that as well.
Jay Powell and other Fed officials issue their next policy decision on May 4th. Stay tuned for more on the Fed this morning when we speak live with St. Louis President Jim Bullard. Catch that conversation at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
And on the earnings front this morning, John, shares of Nike are up nearly 6% in early trading. The company's quarterly results topped estimates and revenue outpaced expectations in all regions, including Greater China, where sales fell less than predicted. S&P futures are higher by 13 points right now. Dow futures up 120. NASDAQ futures on the rise by 48 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 15 30 seconds. The yield 2.34%. NYMEX crude is down 2.2% or $2.42 at $109.70 a barrel. The euro right now 1.1005 against the dollar. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Nathan. 5:33 on Wall Street. Yeah, time to bring in Michael Barr with more on what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you very much, sir. New York's top health official is talking about the latest new Omicron subvariant growing in the state. State Health Commissioner Mary Bassett.
We don't expect to see a steep surge in cases in New York State. At the moment, BA2 comprises about 42% of all the cases here in the state.
Health Commissioner Bassett says, though, New York State averaged around 2,100 new COVID-19 cases per day last week. That is up 32% from the previous week. New York Governor Kathy Hochul.
I just want everyone to know that we've never taken our foot off the gas when it comes to our preparedness for dealing with this pandemic. We never had a high-five moment and said it's over. We're in a new phase. We've been adapting to the circumstances and reopening in a way that I still believe should continue. That's an important point to make.
Governor Hochul says the number of patients hospitalized with COVID-19 in New York has fallen from 12,700 in early January to around 900. A Russian court has found jailed Kremlin critic Alexei Navalny guilty of large-scale fraud. Navalny is already serving a more than 2-year sentence in prison for parole violations. Navalny says the cases were fabricated. Supreme Court nominee Ketanji Brown Jackson will face senators' questions during confirmation hearings to become the only black female justice in the court's history. Yesterday, Judge Jackson delivered her opening remarks before the Judiciary Committee.
If I am confirmed, I commit to you that I will work productively to support and defend the Constitution.
Some Republicans charge that Jackson has been too lenient in sentencing on criminal matters. Texas firefighters gained the upper hand over historic wildfires as violent weather closed in on urban centers and residents of Dallas and Austin sought shelter from tornadoes. The largest cluster of blazes that erupted late last week west of Dallas was 60% contained. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 5:36 on Wall Street, time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stanshower.
Thanks, John. Night after the Utah Jazz beat the Knicks at the Garden, they went to Brooklyn, lost to the Nets, 114-106. As Kevin Durant scored 37 points when the season began, Durant thought he'd be part of a big three. Not the case. James Harden is now in Philadelphia, traded for Ben Simmons, who's yet to play for Brooklyn due to a back injury, and Kyrie Irving only allowed to play on the road. KD's still hopeful that may change.
Frustrated at not being able to play, and you know, you figured this stuff would be rolled back by now and we'd be way past this, but it's a situation we're in. We got to deal with it. He's got to deal with it, and I'm trusting that it'll get figured out here soon.
Except that Irving seems determined not to get the vaccine, and City Hall seems dug in on not making an exception to the private sector in-person mandate. There are believed to be unvaccinated Met and Yankee players. This could affect them, too. Mets lost to the Marlins, but Max Scherzer was sharp in 5 innings. Yanks beat the Phillies. Another big-name quarterback got traded. Matt Ryan, 14 years with Atlanta, a 4-time Pro Bowler, 1-time MVP, sent to Indianapolis for a third-round draft pick. The Falcons then signed free agent QB Marcus Mariota. New Orleans sticking with Jameis Winston. He re-signed with the Saints. Kevin Willard leaving Seton Hall to be the new coach at Maryland. Shaheen Holloway already seen as the favorite to replace Willard. Holloway is a former Seton Hall player. He's coached St. Peter's to the NCAA Sweet 16. As of now, Phil Mickelson is not going to play the upcoming Masters. He recently said he was taking time off. Mickelson has played in every Masters since 1994. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John?
All right, thanks a lot, John. 5:37 on Wall Street. That's time for the Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. And for that, we're joined by Ed Khoury.
Brookfield Properties will power its One Manhattan West office skyscraper with renewable energy from upstate New York. Another unit of parent Brookfield Asset Management will provide hydropower for the 67-story tower, part of the 8-acre Manhattan West project on the borough's far west side. Billionaire Rupert Murdoch is listing a pair of condos in New York for $78 million, less than a decade after buying them and conducting an extensive renovation. The News Corp founder is selling his $62 million triplex penthouse and a smaller apartment on a lower floor for $16 million. New Jersey officials have awarded $1 million in grants to install electric vehicle charging stations in 24 tourist areas. The idea is to boost tourism by reassuring visitors with electric vehicles that they can come to a vacation spot in Jersey and not run out of power to get back home. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Khoury.
All right, thanks, Ed. It is 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in now with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on 1010 Winds in New York, we're talking about Wall Street regulators turning their attention to climate change.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. More than 80% of oil workers would consider switching to another energy sector.
I'm Caroline Hepke, Bloomberg DAB, digital radio in London. We're reporting on a major boost for the Chancellor ahead of his spring statement as borrowing comes in £26 billion below forecast.
I'm Ed Khoury on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting Rocket Mortgage CEO Jay Farner will buy up to $36 million worth of the company's stock.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
Judging by state media accounts, Chinese President Xi Jinping was more focused on Taiwan than on the Russian invasion of Ukraine when he spoke with his U.S. counterpart Joe Biden last week. But if Xi fears U.S. support for what he calls Taiwan independence forces, many American analysts worry about the opposite, that China might be inspired by Russia to seek its own takeover of Taiwan. While the U.S. should prepare for that possibility both militarily and diplomatically, it should also remember that having stable relations with China has been crucial to keeping the peace across the Taiwan Strait. Maintaining that stability will require stronger communications, sustained diplomacy, and a greater investment in crisis management tools. True success will ultimately be measured not by whether the U.S. can win a war over Taiwan, but whether it can prevent one. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPI and go. Ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, futures right now in the green. Dow futures up 127 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg weather for today. Clouds, some sunshine, especially north of the city. The high temperature about 60 degrees. Tomorrow, cloudy, cooler. Showers developing during the afternoon. The high temperature about 50 degrees.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. Stocks are climbing. The sell-off in bonds is deepening after Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell said the Fed could raise interest rates by 50 basis points at its next policy meeting if needed to get a handle on inflation. We check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures right now are up 13 points. Dow futures up 123. NASDAQ futures are higher by 47 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 15, 30 seconds. The yield 2.34%. Yield on the 2-year 2.18. NYMEX crude is down 2.2%, down $2.49 at $109.63 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.2% or $4.30 at $19.30.50 an ounce. The euro is at 1.1005 against the dollar. The yen 120.70. Bitcoin up 3.3% on the session at $42,500. That's Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Russia is refocusing its military campaign in Ukraine on the east and above all the port city of Mariupol. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky has described the assault as a war crime that will be remembered for centuries. A Russian court has found Kremlin critic Alexei Navalny guilty of fraud. Navalny has dismissed the case as politically motivated. Navalny, already serving a 2.5-year sentence, could face an additional 13 years when sentenced. Supreme Court nominee Ketanji Brown Jackson will face senators' questions for the first time as Democrats push to quickly confirm the only black female justice in the court's history. In the NBA, the Nets and Celtics won. The Wizards lost. In the NHL, the Bruins beat the Canadiens in overtime, 3-2. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. It is 5:49 on Wall Street. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. President Biden says Russia's use of a hypersonic missile against Ukraine is a sign President Vladimir Putin is growing desperate. Also warning about new indications of cyber attacks. We are joined live now by Joe Matthew, host of Bloomberg Sound On, with everything going on in Washington this morning. Joe, what exactly is the president saying, and is he preparing us for things to get worse?
Evolving intelligence is the term that we heard in the White House briefing room yesterday by the Deputy National Security Advisor for Cyber, Ann Neuberger, talking about a cyber attack not on Ukraine, but on the U.S. And this is a little bit of a different wrinkle here. as we've been very concerned about Russia knocking the lights out, taking out computer servers in places like Kyiv, and that could still happen, of course. But if Russia is about to do something here in the United States, there are a lot of questions about what our response would be. And in lieu of that, White House has been briefing companies. We understand the federal government, according to Bloomberg's reporting, has briefed about 100 companies on this to harden their defenses immediately. And I'll tell you, you might be surprised by some of the stuff we're talking about here. It's real, it's pretty basic, like double authentication, like you might even have for your own email, encrypting sensitive data. You do get the sense, based on the direction that we're hearing from the White House, that a lot of these companies are simply not prepared for something like this to happen.
So I should change my password from JT123.
Yeah, the ABC123 thing. Apparently you're not alone. These are major Fortune 500 companies playing the same games.
And he's also the president commenting about the desperation that perhaps Vladimir Putin is being backed into a corner. Tell us more about that.
Well, you saw the use of this hypersonic missile. There may have been a couple of them, in fact, that has been confirmed by the president. Spoke to the business roundtable last night. The idea here is that we're entering an actual stalemate, which is remarkable considering the fact that Russia thought they would smoke Ukraine in a matter of days. Now, on the one hand, that sounds like, great, Ukraine's doing a good job defending itself, but a stalemate in this case is actually very difficult to conceive. Getting bogged down World War I style and just continuously bombing civilian areas. That's what the Russian strategy would be, and in doing it from a greater distance. These hypersonic missiles, much like the cruise missiles that were used before, would suggest that Russia is bogged down on the ground in Ukraine and using longer range, much more destructive weapons to deal with the situation at hand here. This is very concerning, and this is why President Zelensky, it's why the Ukrainian military is begging for help to close the skies, as they call it, because these are the actual weapons that are doing enormous damage inside the country.
Are Republicans and Democrats kind of maybe on the same page on the war in Ukraine?
They are. In terms of not establishing a no-fly zone, they get to be mixed up when it comes to providing fighter jets. We talked about, and have been for a couple of weeks now, these MiG-29 jets that Poland offered to Ukraine, and President Zelensky was almost begging for them a couple of weeks ago. It still hasn't happened due to a lot of complicated issues, including the U.S., you know, being concerned about escalating this conflict. Republicans are now demanding that the White House provide those jets, and some Democrats are too. I will tell you as well that they're working on a sanctions package in the Senate. The House already passed its version of this to codify what the president called for in removing permanent trade status from Russia. That still has not been done in the Senate, and they're kind of chewing on this here to see if that it should also include a ban on Russian gas and oil, even though the president has done that already. But we could have a deal there by the end of the week.
Okay, the hearings for Judge Jackson, are they going to get kind of nasty today? Got about a minute left.
This is the day. Yeah, yesterday was about the formalities and the introductions. And the Republican members of the Judiciary Committee gave us a sense of where they're going to go here, trying to paint Jackson as soft on crime. They're going to question her rulings on child pornography cases, on defending detainees at Guantanamo Bay. There are 22 members of the panel. They each get 50 minutes. So this will be a marathon session today and will likely lead into tomorrow. It is still expected that she will be confirmed, even if it's on party lines.
Should make for some good listening. Joe Matthew, host of Bloomberg Sound On, heard weekdays at 5 p.m. right here on Bloomberg Radio. Nathan.
Okay, John, thanks. We're coming up to 5:54 on Wall Street. It's time for our Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Pabst is being sued in the Southern District of New York, accused of running an unlawful lottery. The company says every pack of its trading cards includes a code that can be used to win a valuable card. The District of New Jersey ruled that a suit accusing GEICO of underpaying policyholders for totaled vehicles will move forward as a class action. A federal judge in Ohio ruled the Defense Department may have retaliated against a worker who had complained about age bias. The agency decided not to interview the worker for a position in another office.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, the big legal story we're watching today is day two of the historic confirmation hearings for Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson. If confirmed, by the Senate Judiciary Committee. She would be the first black woman to sit on the Supreme Court. Today, the first round of questioning by senators begins at 9 a.m. Wall Street time. And for more, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks with John Michaels, professor at UCLA Law School.
The Republicans seem to be ready to attack her as being soft on crime. We heard this from Mitch McConnell last week. You know, we're hearing it again in the Republicans' opening statements.
There are some scurrilous attacks that have been raised against her that have framed her as being sympathetic or enabling of pedophilia or being soft on terrorism. Those are claims that are incredibly biting when they turn into sound bites, but have very little context or, again, substantiation behind them. So I find it deeply troubling the way in which it's been kind of marshaled or weaponized in this fashion. I will say this, that the fact that Judge Jackson served as a federal public defender should be considered as a real virtue for a court that hasn't had someone who has that professional experience, that life experience, in quite a long time, in decades, in fact. So the idea that the court should have a breadth of legal and professional experience that informs their work strikes me as an unalloyed good. And the notion of being soft or hard on crime without context is really just an attempt to undermine her credibility and suggest that she's somehow not a responsible member of the legal community, which, again, has no substantiation.
Are you fairly confident that unless something unexpected happens, she'll be confirmed?
I would like to say I'm pretty confident because I'm enthusiastic about her candidacy, but I think I've measured in my optimism only because we have a long process to go, and it seems like there is not a lot of bipartisan support, that there's a lot of extra votes lying around for Judge Jackson to pick up, and this may turn into a 50-50 vote where the vice president has to break the tie, and so it's hard to tell at this point. Republicans don't seem particularly enthusiastic, notwithstanding that many of them have voted to confirm her for other positions of incredible influence and trust.
That's UCLA law professor John Michaels speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso. You can catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by listening to the Bloomberg Law Show at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, or by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. Checking futures ahead of the market open on this Tuesday morning, they are moving higher with S&P futures up 14 points, Dow futures up 135, NASDAQ futures up 46 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 15 32nds, the yield 2.34%, yield on the 2-year right now 2.18%. NYMEX crude down 2.2%, down $2.49 at $109.63 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.2% or $4.10 at $19.30.70 an ounce. The euro 1.0996 now against the dollar. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg. Good morning.